Hello everyone, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much for being here. All right. I want to talk about Gangyo. I want to talk about the A section, the first part of Gangyo. And I want to address something that comes up with all of us from beginner to long-time practitioner. Our practice of Gangyo, and we resist this from the start. Why do I have to say these characters and sound all of this out? And what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, dear student, there are two separate things going on here. And as we get into the Hoben chapter, the first part of Gangyo, we are going to come to understand what Shakyamuni was trying to tell us all those thousands of years ago. To help us, I've brought a contemporary translation of the Lotus Sutra by Gene Reeves and an old 1880s transcription or translation of the Lotus Sutra by H. Kern. H. Kern was a great English scholar, and he brings to bear his cultural bias in language, but he honestly is trying to capture what Shakyamuni was teaching here. So even though the language will be confusing, hopefully my elucidation will be able to keep us on track, not get lost in lords and other words. Actually, in some ways, he's far more true to the words of Shakyamuni's teachings than some of the later stuff. And I think, I kind of feel like I owe you guys an apology. The English translation that I have in the back of the Gangyo book was put in there hastily many years ago. It's a Burton Watson translation, and gosh, it's horrible. It's really terrible. And I think I'm going to make it a mission of mine to go back into that that book and put in a better representation of the meanings, not my own version of the translation, but perhaps one of these. Because as I reread that, I thought, oh, God, this is so terrible. All right, so let's get to it. The Hoben chapter. We just, in Gangyo, recite the first part of it. The Hoben chapter is quite long. And it has a specific intent. And as you hear me repeat over and over again, Buddhism is about attitude and intent. So, the Hoben chapter is titled Skillful Means. And there's something very important that happens in this chapter, and no doubt why Nichiren would have us recite it with each Gangyo. And that is that he really displays his displeasure with the arrogance of early sectarian formations around his earlier teachings. And this may come as a surprise, but yes, you know, we tend to talk about Nietzsche a lot, and his warrior stance and his vitriol with other sects, but we forget that Shakyamuni Buddha himself, the originator of this practice, also was quite intolerant of misinterpretations. He was trying to teach something incredibly important. And around him would arise these monks that thought themselves better than him. And it's not like he was in a race as to who's more important and who's not. He knew what he was teaching was singular. And so when these learned monks would come up and act as though they knew what he was teaching better than he did, he would just fall silent. Okay. And then he would address the rest of us and say, so here's what I'm saying. And these monks who thought themselves better would go, F, you're preaching to the choir, and they would leave like they knew better. And Buddha would just sit quietly, let them go away. And then he'd address the masses. Okay, now they're gone. Let's talk. So he was no less perturbed by this samsaric pomposity, egos, and so forth. He was trying to teach how to get rid of all of that. And these people were obviously completely attached. They couldn't let go of what they thought they knew. And that this is a very critical moment in our Buddhist practice. And so it's no wonder that this is the chapter that starts off our Gongyo. And I'm going to read, because I love it so much, the honesty in H. Kern's translation of the Lotus Sutra. I'm not going to read it from the Gongyo book, because that translation's horrid. So, skillful means. And just so you know, I'm going to divulge one of my main points here. Buddhism is about attitude and intent, as I said. So, it's important to know what we're reciting. Absolutely. And this is why you should study the Lotus Sutra. When you study it and read it in English, you will understand that each chapter has a specific point it's making. But when you're reciting Gongyo, it's not the purpose of Gongyo to understand every word. It's not. And in this chapter, we're going to hear Shakyamuni saying so. In fact, his point about these arrogant people leaving, that we don't need them cluttering up the works, is exactly the point. You don't want to be chanting the English translation of this chapter in front of your mandala with the hopes of attaining Buddhahood. Because you're doing exactly what Shakyamuni is trying to prohibit you to do. You're being attached to the words. Gongyo is about attitude. It's about performing with the zeal of enlivening, awakening, experiencing Buddha-ness. And that can't be described in words. Right? That's why in the Hoben chapter, Shakyamuni says, let's stop talking about this, because this idea, this wisdom of Buddha can only be shared amongst Buddhas. He's like fly fishing. He's saying, look, Buddha-ness is like this, it's like this, is never mind. You won't understand Buddha until you achieve Buddha. So just do it. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's saying here. So the fact that it's in a language and a script that you don't understand, and that you're struggling to enunciate it and do it with a rhythm, it's about involving your body, your mind, and dislodging you from the monkeys that want to know every word and what you're saying, to get to the attitude, to well up your dedication, your resolve, your intensity, so that you can attain Buddha. Not understand Buddha, attain it. This is everything in your practice of Buddhism. And this is what Shakyamuni continuously comes back to. So if you know every word of the second chapter of the Lotus Sutra, good. Good on you. You actually understand what the Buddha has, or the transcription that you have of the Buddha's words. But as in the Lankavatara, Shakyamuni would say, great, you know the words, but do you know the meaning? And that's the thing I want to drive home today more than anything. The Lord then rose with recollection and consciousness from his meditation. He had just been in samadhi, in deep concentration. And forthwith, you see the old English here, addressed the venerable Shariputra, the monk who, from other stories we know, is the most educated, the most understanding of all the words. The Buddha knowledge, Shariputra, is profound and difficult to understand. And Shariputra and other well-read monks like the Hinayana sects, believing they had reached Arhat, their last body, in other words, and unattached, would say, yeah, but we understand it. Mm-mm. Difficult to comprehend, Shakyamuni says. It is difficult for all disciples and Pratyeka Buddhas to fathom the knowledge arrived at by the Tathagatas, etc., and that Shariputra, because the Tathagatas have worshipped many hundred thousand myriads of codas of Buddhas, because they have fulfilled their course for supreme complete enlightenment during many hundred thousand myriads of codas, because they have wandered far, displaying energy and possessed of wonderful and marvelous properties, possessed of properties difficult to understand, because they have found out things difficult to understand. Now, he's actually alluding to bodhisattva practice. These Buddhas that have gone far and wide, he's talking about helpers, people that assist others. But before Shakyamuni, these weren't called Buddhas. They weren't even called Bodhisattvas. But a Bodhisattva, understand, is a monk who has studied and practiced with the right attitude and intent to have attained the Buddha way and is now traveling the earth in samsara, in this world, samsara. Again, everything's in the context of samsara, and the mental cognition, the attitude and the intent of Buddha within the human experience, this world, samsara. And that's a bodhisattva, not an arhat, not a Pratyeka Buddha, not a man of learning and realization. He's calling them out right away. The mystery of the Tathagatas is difficult to understand, Shariputra, because when they explain the laws of phenomena, all phenomena, things, that have their causes in themselves, they do not do so by means of skillfulness, by the display of knowledge, by arguments, reason, fundamental ideas, interpretations, and suggestions. See, once you're enlightened, once you attain Buddha-ness, you're able to understand how to communicate ideas in various ways to lead people to understanding. By a variety of skillfulness, they are able to release creatures that are attached to one point or another. Simply by explaining and giving examples, we can lead people to unattach themselves from their earthly, their greed, anger, and stupidity, right? Their mindless, you might say, attachment to things, their egos. The Tathagatas, Shariputra, have acquired the highest perfection in skillfulness and display of knowledge. They are endowed with wonderful properties, such as the display of free and unchecked knowledge. In other words, knowledge without attachment. The powers, the absence of hesitation, the independent conditions, the strength of the organs, the constituents of Bodhi, the aspects of Buddhahood and Bodhisattva, the contemplations, emancipations, right? Liberation from attachments. The degrees of concentration of the mind. I find this fascinating because in this old translation, this English scholar understood that Shakyamuni was talking about the mind. Most modern translations do not. The Tathagatas, Shariputra, are able to expound various things and have something wonderful and marvelous. And then he catches himself. He's catching himself in the very words that he's wanting to lead people away from. And so he says, "Enough, Shariputra. Let it suffice to say that the Tathagatas have something extremely wonderful, Shariputra." Let's drop the words. I'm getting caught up in them myself. What a Buddha is not something that can be described in words. It's an experience. And here we are at the crux of the matter. He then says, "None but a Tathagata, Shariputra, can impart to a Tathagata those laws which the Tathagata knows." Right? From this, we get the popular statement that the wisdom of Buddhas can only be shared amongst Buddhas. In other words, you're going to have to experience it, because talking about it is like talking about a photon. The words just, it's not a photon. It's like one of my old favorite artists, Laurie Anderson, used to say, there's the thing, and then there's the word for the thing, and that's really one thing too much. I always thought that was wonderful. Anyway, sorry. So, and all laws, in other words, laws of nature, laws of creation of phenomena, laws of the life process, cosmic forces, if you want to call them that, Shariputra, are taught by the Tathagata and by him alone. No one but he knows all laws, what they are, how they are, like what they are, of what characteristics and of what nature they are. Only when you experience Buddha-ness will all of these things unlock for you. You will simply see the nature of all phenomena, how life process works. And on that occasion, to set forth the same subject more copiously, the Lord uttered the following stanzas. Now, if you didn't recognize it when he was listing all of these aspects of the Tathagata, these are the 10 factors that we read in more modern translations as and you'll recognize it right away when you're reciting it When you say nyoze in, nyoze en, nyoze ka, nyoze ho, nyoze ho, right? This is because everything exists, every existing thing has such characteristics as such a nature, such an embodiment, such powers, such actions, such causes, such conditions, such effects, such rewards and retributions, and yet such a complete fundamental coherence, right? From beginning to end, right? So there are different ways to talk about that, but it's talk about that. And this is what Shakyamuni wants to avoid. Let's not just have swimming circles where we all talk about it. Let's actually do it. And then he goes into his verse section, which is somewhat lengthy. And then here's the part I really like. I like Curran's description of this best. Okay, so he gets through with all of his verses. You know, the last one, 21, is, "It is by my superior skillfulness that I explain the law at great length to the world at large. I deliver those whosoever are attached to one point or another and show the three vehicles." Right? Because before this, there was the idea of the three vehicles. You could attain enlightenment through learning or through realization, right? To become an arhat, so on and so forth. But he's correcting this. "The eminent disciples in the assembly headed by Agnata Kaundinya, the 1,200 arhats, faultless and self-controlled, the other monks, nuns, male and female, lay devotees, using the vehicle of disciples, learning, and those who had entered the vehicle of Pratyekabuddha, all of them made this reflection." In other words, they thought to themselves, "What may be the cause, what the reason of the Lord so extremely extolling the skillfulness of the Tathagatas?" What's he talking about? "Of his extolling it by saying, 'Profound is the law by me discovered.' Of his extolling it by saying, 'It is difficult for all disciples and Pratyekabuddhas to understand it.' But as yet the Lord has declared no more than one kind of emancipation, and therefore we also should acquire the Buddha laws on reaching nirvana. We do not catch the meaning of this utterance of the Lord." And the Venerable Shariputra apprehended the doubt and uncertainty of the four classes of the audience and guessed their thoughts from what was passing in his own mind, himself being in doubt about the law, then said to the Lord, "What, O Lord, is the cause? What is the reason for the Lord so repeatedly and extremely extolling the skillfulness, knowledge, and preaching of the Tathagata? Why does he repeatedly extol it?" By so on and so forth. He repeats this three times, and the point I want to get to here is Shariputra, again, in the form of the day, has to ask this question three different ways, right? "When the Lord for the third time heard the entreaty of the Venerable Shariputra, he spoke to him as follows." Now, you know, Shariputra was acting as expressing the doubts of all these Hinayana Buddhist scholars. "Now that thou entreatest the Tathagata a third time, Shariputra, I will answer thee. Listen then, Shariputra, take well and duly to heart what I am saying. I am going to speak. Now it happened that the 5,000 proud monks, nuns, and lay devotees of both sexes in the congregation rose from their seats and, after saluting with their heads the Lord's feet, went to leave the assembly. Owing to the principle of good which there is in pride, they imagined having attained what they had not, and having understood what they had not, therefore, thinking themselves aggrieved," why is he telling us what we already know, "they went to leave the assembly, to which the Lord, Shakyamuni, by his silence, showed assent." Okay. Go on now. Bye-bye. Thereupon the Lord addressed the venerable Shariputra, "My congregation," in other words, everybody who's still here, "Shariputra has been cleared from the chaff." Ouch. Now, this is what I was saying earlier. We think of Nichiren as the big discipliner, the teacher with the ruler to wrap the erroneous views on the knuckles, right? But Shakyamuni, okay, now we got rid of those. The chaff, he calls them. Freed from the trash. The trash. These are people who dedicated their lives to earlier teachings. But it pisses Shakyamuni off that these people haven't stuck around to get the point of what they think they've learned. They're arrogant. They still have lots to learn, but they think they know it all. So with all the efforts, the years, the decades of teachings, of Shakyamuni's efforts, for these people to think they know better, it's really insulting. It is firmly established in the strength of faith, again, English, Christian. It is good, Shariputra, that those proud ones are gone away. Boy, he can't let it go. It's good. We don't need them. Now I'm going to expound the matter. Shariputra. Very well, Lord, replied the venerable Shariputra. The Lord then began and said. Now, this is not the part that we recite in Gongyo. But it's very much the aspect of the second chapter that we, our attitude and our intent, understand when we do recite that first part. Do you understand why reciting the words in English of the parts that are in Gongyo are not nearly as important as our attitude and our intent, knowing the meaning of the Lotus Sutra and its chapters and the parts that we pay homage to when we do Gongyo, is far more important than the freaking translation. But the translation has its value because that's what teaches us the value of the teaching, the meaning. Follow? It is but now then, Shariputra, that the Tathagata preaches such a discourse on the law as this. Just as but now and then is seen the blossom of a glomerous fig tree, Shariputra, so does the Tathagata but now and then preach such discourse on the law. Believe me, Shariputra, I speak what is real. I speak what is truthful. I speak what is right. It is difficult to understand the exposition of the mystery of the Tathagata. Can't describe Buddhahood. Shariputra, for in elucidating the law, Shariputra, I use 100,000s of various skillful means, such as different interpretations, indications, explanations, illustrations. It is not by reasoning, Shariputra, that the law is to be found. It is beyond the pale of reasoning and must be learnt from the Tathagata. The only way you'll learn what it is to experience Buddha is to experience Buddha. For Shariputra, it is for a sole object, a sole aim, verily a lofty object, a lofty aim, that the Buddha, the Tathagata, appears in this world. And, and what is that sole object, that sole aim, that lofty object? That lofty aim of the Buddha, the Tathagata, appearing in the world to show all creatures the sight of Tathagata knowledge, does the Buddha, the Tathagata, appear in the world to open the eyes of creatures for the sight of Tathagata knowledge, does the Buddha, the Tathagata, appear in the world? And he goes on and on and on. I'm not going to read the whole Hoban chapter. I want you to do that. I want you to really dig into What is the meaning of the words here? He goes on. Yet Shariputra Manatatha Gazas happened to appear in the decay of the epic, the decay of the creatures, the decay of besetting sins, the decay of views, or the decay of lifetime. When they appear amid such signs of decay at the disturbance of the epoch, when creatures are much tainted, full of greed, and poor in roots of goodness, then Shariputra Tathagatas use skillfully to designate that one and sole Buddha vehicle by the appellation of the threefold vehicle. Now, Shariputra, such disciples, arhats, or Pratyeka Buddhas, who do not hear their actually being called to the Buddha vehicle by the Tathagata, who do not perceive nor heed it, those Shariputra should not be acknowledged as disciples of the Tathagata, nor as arhats, nor as Pratyeka Buddhas. They're pretenders. Again, Shariputra, if there be some monks or nuns pretending to arhatship without an earnest vow to reach supreme perfect enlightenment and saying, I am standing too high for the Buddha vehicle, I am in my last appearance in the body before complete nirvana, then, Shariputra, consider such a one to be conceited. This is Shakyamuni Buddha talking. Very strict here. And what is he saying? What is the meaning of what he's saying? He is telling you, anyone who thinks they can attain Buddhahood simply by understanding the words and being, you know, maybe they're great at memorizing, maybe they're wonderful, maybe even scholars and so forth. They really are not. They're really fooling themselves. They really don't know of what they speak. Because only by the one vehicle, Myoho Renge Kyo, can you invoke your own Buddha-ness. And when you experience that Buddha, then you will know. But until you do that, everything is just words. And if you think the answer is there, you've missed the point entirely, and you're just an egotistical, conceited chaff, trash. You're not practicing Buddhism. You're not doing as I've instructed. You're not even a Pratyeka Buddha. You're not even a Buddhist. This is from Shakyamuni's own mouth. So it's no wonder that Nichiren repeats these things. He's reminding everyone. Shakyamuni's enlightenment was the one thing he was trying to train people how to get to. And in the Lotus Sutra, he spoke about it as his own process. And before the Lotus Sutra, he was preparing people. And if along that process, some people said, well, I don't need to know anymore, I know it all, then to Shakyamuni, Buddha, they weren't Buddhists. Because they didn't go the whole way. If you compete in an Olympic event, say the 100-yard dash, and at the 80-yard mark, you stop and go, I've proven I'm the fastest. Are you going to get a medal? No, you've got to cross the finish line. Then you'll know. The medal is incidental. It's what you experience. That's the experience of winning the 100-yard dash in the Olympics. Right? All those years of preparation of the Olympic athlete. Getting ready to do that marathon, whatever event, pole vault or name it, figure skating. It's thrilling to be in the Olympics, but you are not the preeminent in anything until you achieve it. It's laudable to go along the way, but in Buddhism, it's not even that. Because all of it is preparation for that moment, that experience. And so if you fall short of that experience, even if you're, it doesn't have to be a gold medal, just get to the finish line. If you don't even do that, then you can't even call yourself an Olympic athlete. Just go home. So that's the Hoben. Read it, read the translation, read the whole thing, not just what's in the recitation. Get it square in your head how important that shift. Remember, this is early in the Lotus Sutra. It's still provisional, but it's provisional from the Buddha's standpoint. It's provisional as the one vehicle. He's still prepping you for the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter, which we're going to recite next. But this is the setup in the second chapter, right? Everything you've learned before, it's great that you're a scholar and you're learning all this stuff, but now I'm going to tell you what it's for. And if you give up here, then you shouldn't have even started. That's the Hoben chapter. That's the Na of Namu chapter. And the lifespan of the Tathagata is the Mu chapter. So I hope that makes sense to you. Thank you for being here. Thank you to my supporters, contributors through Patreon or individually. You guys make this possible. So thank you for that. And as Tammy reminds me all the time, don't forget to press like and subscribe. I'm such a bad YouTuber. I never say those things, but Tammy's been vigilant telling me, and don't forget to like and subscribe. She's so right. I just am not comfortable doing that. I guess I should get comfortable for that because I think this practice is everything. It's so important, just like you are. So thanks for your support. Thanks for being here. Download the podcast if those are useful for you as an audio file. And I'll see you in the next one. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Take care of your health. Be kind to yourself and others. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep, if you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called a monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you, in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.